God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. The name of my sermon is called To Stand. It's all about sin. The devil coming with sin and we having to stand against that. I remember as a child, my parents were very, very, very diligent in taking us to the church in the area that I stayed in. And many times I walk out of church just feeling so condemned. The dominie would have had a sermon on sin and I would just walk out of there feeling like, man, I'm not going to make it. Just feeling like the world is weighing on me and there's no way that I'm ever going to get to heaven. But if you walk out of that tonight, know that it's not God that spoke to you. Because God does not come and condemn. God comes and God convicts. The devil does all the condemnation. You know, is there any boxing fans up here? Anybody that likes boxing? Nobody. Like one, two, maybe three. Now, a boxer speaks about he has a combination. He'll hit the person twice and then he'll come with a big finish, or you know, the boxer will say I have a certain combination of power. Now the devil has exactly the same. He's got a killer combination. First he will bring temptation. And then if you fall for the temptation, he will bring the guilt. And the guilt makes you run away from God, makes you feel condemned, makes you feel like you know you can't come to God and even confess your sins. You know, you should just stay as far away from church as possible. Now, I fell for that a couple of times. But if you feel like that, after the service, please come speak to me. Don't go home like that. But before we start with the word, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this evening, Father. Father, thank you that we can spend time in your presence, Father. Father, tonight's all about you, Father. And I just pray, Father, that you will have your way in this place, Father. Father, that your name will be glorified tonight, Father. Father, I pray, Father, that you'll just come and anoint my lips, Father, that every word that I speak, Father, will be your words, Father. Father, I pray, Father, that you will use me, Father, to bring a message, Father, to bring your message, Father. And that everything that comes out of my mouth, Father, that's not from you, Father, that it will fall away, Father. Have your way in this place, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Okay, if you have a Bible, you can open it at Ephesians 6, verse 10, or you can just read it on the screen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So it's not about our might. It's not about our strength. It's not about what we can do against the devil. But it's about the God we serve. Yes, we make the decision. We make the decision to stand. But God comes and empowers us to stand. We can go to verse 12. For we do not war against the flesh and blood, but against principalities and against and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against principalities, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in this place. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand against the evil day, and have done all to stand. As I said, yes, we make the decision, but God is the one, by His grace, who comes and gives us the strength to stand. Just like when you got saved, we're the ones that make the decision. God, we come to a realization that we need a Savior. That there's nothing we can do to obtain heaven. There's nothing we can do to come into the presence of God. But once we made the decision, God comes and He gives us the power. Now, in the Old Testament, we read about the law. And in the New Testament, we read about grace. Do you know that the standard of law and the standard of grace, which one do you think is the higher standard? The standard of grace. The law was impossible to obtain to. Now, the standard of grace is much higher. But the word grace means overcoming power. It means God comes and God gives us the power to overcome. It's not about what we can do. It's about God. Read John 1 verse 17. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I just want to read a couple of verses to prove to you that grace is the highest standard. Matthew 5, verse 21 to 22. You've heard it been said to those of old that you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. The law, if you murder, you will be in danger of judgment. Grace, verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says to his brother, your fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Grace has a much higher standard. It's not about what you do, but it's about what is already going on in your heart. Now, just to bring you some clarity, raka means that which you have done is stupid. Fool means you are stupid. So, it says that if you say to your brother, raka, that which you have done is stupid, you'll be in danger of counsel. But if you say to your brother that you are stupid, then you will be punishable or in danger of punishable by the fires of hell. We go to verse 27 to 28. You've heard it's been said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Once again, the law. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after has already committed adultery in his heart. We get confused between grace and mercy. You know, they are not the same. Grace has a bit of mercy in it, but it means much more. If you just look at the word grace, some of the things that grace do not mean. Grace is not merely mercy. Grace is much more. Read Hebrews 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us come boldly into the throne room of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Grace is not just the mercy, but it's also help in times of need. The power you need, the overcoming power you need in times of need. Grace is definitely not a license to sin. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 20, if you just read that last bit, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. If you stay in a community where every girl over the age of 16 is either pregnant or already has kids, God's grace on your life, if you stay in that community, is much more to overcome that sin, to overcome that trend, than it would be for someone that's not in that community. If you stay in an area like in Stellenbosch where alcohol is just a major issue, if you're in that community where everybody drinks, every weekend the plans are to go out and get drunk, you as a Christian, if you stay in that community, God's grace, God's overcoming power in your life will be more in that area. Amen. You guys are very focused. Are you still thinking about the exams or the holiday that's ahead? And grace is not just a crutch for here and now. You know, it says that sin leads up to death, but after death, sin is invalid. But grace has a far further reach. If we read Romans 5, verse 21. So that as sin has reached to death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life by Jesus Christ. Grace is not just for here and now, but grace leads to eternal life. I had the privilege to teach creationism versus evolution in Bible school. That is not my strength. I'm not a scientific guy at all. But the main focus of evolution versus creation is the world wants to fight against the evidence that there is that we are created. Because the moment we are created, we are accountable to someone bigger than ourselves. You know, we are created for a reason. Evolutionists just say, we just happen to be here, so it doesn't matter. We can just do what we want to. We're not accountable to anybody. The Bible says we are accountable to God. So whatever we do, we have to give account to God for that. So now, I just want to give you a couple of weapons, a couple of tools that you can use first to strengthen yourself when the devil comes against you. and also that you can use, you know, in preparing for when the devil will come with their temptations. Let's just quickly read 1 John 4, verse 4 to 5. They are surprised that you do not join them with their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Now, not to get all morbid, but we are created by God, we are created for God, and we have to give account of the life we live on earth because we are created for God. Amen. Are you guys still with me? Now just think of a practical thing that you are struggling right now. Something in your life that maybe addiction, maybe a hardening of heart that you struggle to forgive. Maybe whatever it is, something that the devil is currently, you know, trying to trick you with. Now, as we go through the weapons, think of how you can practically use that. The first one I put down there is, as I said, we are accountable to God, but God says that we must be accountable to one another. When me and my wife, when we got engaged, we were accountable to two different couples just because things didn't always work out as we thought it would. Practical ways like that you can use accountability. You know the movie ends at 10 o'clock tonight, so you can drop her off at 20 past 10. She'll be at home at 22:11. Get a friend that will call you at 22:11. Ask you, where are you? What are you doing? Are you home alone? A couple of people smiling. I've got a couple of friends that I'm accountable to for a couple of different things. Say, for instance, you struggle with paying your tithe. Get a friend to phone you on the 4th of every month and ask you whether you've paid your tithe. Or whether the devil comes and seduces you into thinking that maybe you can cheat on your tax return. Get a friend to phone you and ask you, you know, what did you put on your tax return? Were you honest? Let's turn to the Word. James 5, verse 15 to 16. It speaks here about illness, but you can use it in all kinds of different areas. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your transgressions one unto another, and pray one for another, that you might be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Even if you've sinned, you've already, you know, fallen over the line. Confess it to another person. Confess it to another Christian. The Bible says that if you confess your sins one to another, your sins will be forgiven. But more important, well, just as important, that friend you confess it to, make him accountable to you. In the sense that, say, most of us work on computers. Say you've stumbled onto a porn site or a gambling site or a whatever. There's fantastic accountability software that you can download for free from a couple of sites. If you want it, I can give you the addresses later. Download this and make your friends the people that actually get the emails. So when you visit these porn sites or these gambling sites or whatever it might be, they get actually emails of saying, Donnie went to this site this time and went on it for that long. Get people. You need to be accountable. The moment it's in the light, you know, the devil can't use it anymore. Okay, I'm going to take a name list to make sure that everybody puts that on their computers. Just the last while, well, me and my wife, we've been stepping out in the ministry more and more and more everywhere. And the devil really came at us, you know, like big time. First we had car crashes and then, well, car crash one. And then our sons got sick. But like constantly, if it's not some stomach bug, it is Mormon sleeping. And then it is ear infections. And then it is just the one thing after the other. And 2 Sundays ago, the Lord actually showed me that the previous work I worked at, I did not leave in a good way. I was under the intention that me and my boss, we were creating a company, we were building up a company. And I really put in lots of hours, and I really gave a lot. And then I discovered that the salary she pays me, which was very little because we're building up this company, is the same amount that she would go and spend on one weekend on her hair. So I was really angry. And then when I spoke to her about it, she just decided, we started a distributing company. You know, distribute all kinds of things to nightclubs, restaurants. Our main focus was alcohol, but we did coffee, bulpong, just about anything. And through that, she actually started a second company that was doing promotions, you know, at golf days or at corporates or wherever. So when I confronted her, eventually she closed down the distributing side of the company and said she's just going to go with the promotion side. So I need work. The company's closing down. She didn't fire me because we worked together, but the company's closed now. And she didn't pay me my full salary, and I have lots of reasons to be angry, but I didn't have the right to be angry. You know, and the Lord just showed me that a while back. Now, this has been over 7 years about, but I still had that anger. Every now and again, I just have to come to the point of saying, I forgive her. Although I struggle to do it, it's a decision that I make. And the devil actually used that open door to bring all kinds of junk into our family. But the good thing is, as the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord raises the standard. Sorry, I just have a very dry throat. The next one, fasting. This is also something that I neglected for a while, but I started it up again about 2 weeks ago. A week ago. Not 2 weeks, a week. The Bible says not if you fast, but when you fast. We're all called to fast. And I'll show you just now. But before getting to that, just a couple of practical things. When you fast, have clear, very, very clear time frame. Starts on Friday morning, it ends Saturday morning, or it starts Friday evening, it ends Saturday evening. You know, don't have an open-ended thing. Have very specific time frame and also very specific thing. You know, like for the next month, I'm not going to eat any sugar. Or for the next 2 weeks, I'm not going to drink any coffee. But have clear dates. Don't make it difficult. I spoke to someone a while back that felt that they needed to fast, and they started fasting, but they were waiting for the Lord to tell them how long to fast. That does not work. Have a clear time frame. Really trust God to tell you, if He tells you to fast from when to when. Don't say, you know, after 4 days, you get tired of fasting and then you're just confused and then it doesn't work anyway. Okay? When you fast, fasting is always for a specific purpose. Okay? It's for either a spiritual breakthrough for yourself or a financial breakthrough for a friend or a disease for another friend. There is a specific reason that you fast. A very valid reason is also just as a spiritual discipline. You're building yourself up. You're strengthening yourself in the Lord to be more spiritually alert, to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that you can pray better, so that you can prophesy more accurately. But that too is a reason. Have a reason why you fast. If you fast, what happens in the spirit is actually you're telling your fleshly man to go sit in the corner. In our modern day, the flesh is the one that makes all the decisions. I want entertainment now, so let's go out and have a, you know, watch a movie. I want food now, so let's go and eat. I'm tired, so let's go and sleep. The flesh is the one, the thing that makes all the decisions, that's running our bodies, that's running us. Now, when you fast, you're actually telling your flesh to go and sit in the corner. You're not in control now, and you're building up your spirit. The spirit is the one that's in control. If you're fasting, don't go out to movies. Don't fast from that as well. Because fasting is not just withholding something from you, but it's actually committing yourself to God. The time that you should have spent preparing food, spend that reading the Bible. The time you would have spent at lunch, spend that praying. It's not just a hunger yourself ate. What is that in English? Starving thing. But it's literally coming and feeding off God. Coming in and like the self and plugging into the plug, plugging into God and literally receiving your sustenance from Him and not your sustenance from the stuff that's around you. Okay, so let's read some scripture again. Matthew 6 verse 16, it says that
When you fast, do not be like the Pharisees. Not if you fast, when you fast. That is the one that convicts me. Pretty much like fasting, prayer. When you pray in the Spirit, you build your spiritual man up. You're telling your fleshly man, the one that's trying to understand everything and trying to make sense of everything, to keep quiet, and you're building your spirit up. G20. But you, dear brother, by building yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life. Speaking about when you pray, you're building yourself up. You're strengthening yourself. As Christians, you know, the planned sins are the ones that falls away. The planning to go out weekends and get drunk. The planning to steal from your boss. The planning to do sin. That is the one that falls away. But the passive, the compulsive one, the one that just jumps up whenever a taxi driver swerves in front of you. You know, that desire just to curse him and tell him to exactly where he must go. That is the one that is starting to fall away when you strengthen your spirit, when you build your spirit up. You can, you know, as I said, when the taxi swerves in front of you, you can either, you know, curse the taxi, which is the wrong way, or you can actually start praying for the people in that taxi because they need your prayer. Also, you know, I hate CNA in Hatfield. There is like some shaky books there. And they don't put it in a corner. They put it right on the side. So, if your spiritual man is the one that's leading your body, you walk in there, your eye catches it, you walk away. If it's your fleshly man that rules your body, you walk in there, you see, you walk away, but you keep on looking. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to strengthen ourselves so that when the devil comes, not if the devil comes, when the devil comes, we will be strong. Amen. Number four, worship. That's what we just did here in front. Worship has this ability to just, you know, connect you with God. Who's watched Star Trek? Everybody, right? See that little thing about beam me up, Scotty? That is what worship does. You can be in the biggest hole. The moment you start worshiping God, you just jump into His presence. You just come into His presence. And all the other junk literally just fades away. I'm not a natural worshiper. I worship in my car when nobody can hear me, or at home when my wife's not there. But worship just has this ability. You know that we are created to worship? We are created to bring honor to God and lift His name up. And the moment we walk in that role, and it's like putting up these bulletproof panels around us, the devil has a hard time breaking through that. So, let's get back to the Word. Psalm 95, verse 6 to 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord and make our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hands. We are God's. And once we step into that, doing what God created us to do, we are just strengthened like you cannot believe. Romans 4, from verse 11. You are worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and through you they exist and were created. The next one I want to touch on is meditation. Now, when I speak about meditation, I'm not speaking about you know, the world says that meditation is emptying yourself out, you know, thinking of nothing, being nothing. That's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is focused thinking on something. Biblical meditation actually have a sense of speaking added to the worldly meditation. Thinking of something. I've just been meditating on a psalm. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Meditation is thinking about it. I taste and see. So it's not just something I see, it's also something I experience. I taste it. What does it mean to rely, to trust in God? Thinking about it, constantly thinking about it, speaking about it, asking people's opinion. That is biblical meditation. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is a man who walks not, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Okay, this is a guy, David. He says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. That is what he's thinking about. That is what's going over his head. And what is the result of that? If we just read verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its seasons, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That is a result of biblical meditation. Joshua 1 verse 8. God speaking to Joshua. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, speaking, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. See, it does not say only think about it. It also said it will not depart from your mouth, speaking about it. And when the devil comes, if you have scripture that you meditate upon, that you have the word, which brings me to my next point, you have something to defend yourself with. The Bible says that the word of God is a sword. Let me read it at this. Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you go and read the whole part of Ephesians and you read the whole armor of God, the sword is the only thing that you can attack with. Everything else is to protect yourself. You know, the helmet or the shield. But only the sword is the thing that you take to the devil. You actually attack him with that. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and of spirit, and of joint and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word says that this, the word of God, is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the only thing that we can take the devil on. If he comes with his lies, if he comes with his deceit, this is what we can respond with. Matthew 4 speaks about when Jesus was tempted. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And every time Jesus responds, we just look at Matthew 4 verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. Verse 7, just the beginning. And Jesus said to him, it is written. Every time Jesus responds with the word of God. And we don't need to become very legalistic about it. You know that the verses and the chapters was added later. So you don't need to say, I know that in Matthew 6 verse 27 it says this. You can just tell the devil that the Bible says that God knows the thoughts he thinks towards me. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give me a hope and to give me a future. You know, you don't need to know the verses, but know the word. Because this is the only thing that you can attack the devil on. Can I ask the ushers to collect the communion? We are going to do communion a bit differently today. I'm not going to pray for us, and we're not going to take it together. Each and every one of us are going to get the elements, and then we're going to take it, and just as an act of, towards God, if you decide to take that another step. If you decide to take the go to the next level, I want you to stand and take communion, you and God. Nobody else involved. You just take the bread and you just take the wine. You thank God for it and you say that you want to go to the next level. You're not happy with this wherever you are, but you actually want to get closer. You want to be, you know, the Bible says that His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. But if we have a weakness, God says that if we allow Him in that weakness, He will come and He will be strong for us. He will be strong on our behalf, and that weakness will become our strength. So if you're tired of your weaknesses, if you're tired of where the devil is tempting you, I want you to take that communion, stand, take it by yourself, and just as a commitment to God, just stand and tell Him that you want to take. You want to go to the next level. I just want to close with 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were already called and have confessed to the day of confession in the presence of many witnesses. We must take hold of it. We must make the decision. We must go for it. And if we commit to go for it, you know, God is the one who will come and strengthen us. The Lions rugby team is such a good example. In the beginning of the year, everybody condemned them. Everybody told them they are not going to go anywhere. But they had the conviction that this year is the year that they're actually going to win the Currie Cup. Although they haven't done it in decades, this year is going to be different. And that is what conviction is. The past tell me I've failed so many times in this area. But this moment, it's going to be different. From today on, that lust that I'm struggling with, I'm not going to bow the knee to that anymore. That desire to steal, that desire to gather or to get riches, I'm not going to bow the knee to that anymore. Amen. You can take your communion if you've received it. Father, thank you that we can, Father, celebrate community, communion, Father. Not just do it, Father, but celebrate in the fact, Father, that your Son died on the cross, Father, so that we can have a relationship with you, Father. Father, this is the biggest gift, Father, anybody have ever received, Father. The privilege, Father, to have a relationship with you, Father. Father, thank you, Father, that the blood of Christ still cries out from the ground as a witness to we being forgiven, to we being allowed into your presence. Not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, Father, but because of your perfect sacrifice, your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our iniquity. Can I just ask if we all stand and we just close off with Our God Reigns?
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You live.